So we're in Revelation chapter 7 tonight. I'm going to begin by reading the first 8 verses. It's going to take us at least a couple weeks to get through Revelation 7. Because tonight we're really just introducing where it lies in the book of Revelation and why it's where it is. Revelation chapter 7. And after these things, I saw 4 angels standing on the 4 corners of the earth, holding the 4 winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the 4 angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, "Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads." And I heard the number of them that were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Now the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Now the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Now the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. And of the tribe of Asher were sealed 12,000. And of the tribe of Nephilim were sealed 12,000. Now the tribe of Manasseh were sealed 12,000. And the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. And of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Ashkar were sealed 12,000. And of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000. And of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000. And of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. And by the way, the tribe of Dan's not mentioned here. We'll get to that eventually. They're left out. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. Now, the last time we worked our way through chapter 6, and we were looking at chapter 6, and we come up to the day of the Lord in verse 17, and we talked about that day, the day of the Lord, the great day of his wrath is come. And at the end of chapter 6, after the 6th vial, that's what was stated, or after the 6th seal was opened, that's what was stated. And the 6 seals in chapter 6 are leading up to the 7th seal. We see in chapter 8, the 7th seal is opened. And by the way, notice there it says, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour when that 7th seal opens. And as I've told you before, and I will mention again here in a minute, my understanding is, although the 7 seals open, then you see the 7 trumpets, and then you see the 7 vials, they're all leading to this one moment at the end. Each one heading to that last place, and you get the 7th vial, the 7th seal, and the 7 trumpet all line up. So there's overlap in between there, but I'll explain how I see that in a minute, but they're all going to this one point. And what I see here, I almost wanted to mention this morning when I talked about how that Christ come up from his throne and came down, descended to the earth to be born of the Virgin Mary. Then he ascended back up to heaven, took the throne again, sat down on the throne, and sits there now waiting for this moment. I believe this moment when there was silence in heaven for 30 minutes, I believe that's a moment when the time had come. And all these things that, like I said, this story lays out, and it lays out again in the book of Revelation. And by the time you get to this 7th seal, you've seen basically the story in a preview of what's going to happen in the book of Revelation. And this is the final moment. And what happened that caused the silence, from what I can understand, is that Christ stood up. All of these things had taken place, and all of the things, all the wrath of God had been poured out, except for that final moment, that battle of Armageddon, where Christ is coming. And when he stood up to mount up, to come down from heaven at that great day, there was silence. There was awe. all the holy angels and all the children of God that had been fellowshipping and all that God has in glory stopped. Almost you might want to say, uh-oh, he's up and he's coming. And that always struck me. That strikes me even now, that there's silence in heaven. Holy, 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 all of that stopped. He's coming. He's coming. And that time is coming. Now, as I said, I understand that the book of Revelation to be the seven seals open, and it gives you a preview of what's happening. The seven trumpets blow, and then the seven vials, the last seven plagues that are poured out on the earth. Not necessarily this and it stops, then this. There's some overlap, obviously, because they all end up at the same place. But it's at least a view of that same ending that's all coming down to that last moment. And each one of these is a view of that that's coming in the last days of the earth, or before the Lord reigns on the earth. And these seals that we've seen in chapter 6, and we're going to talk about them just a little bit more, are a prelude, or you could say a preview of the coming events. Not necessarily events happening before, but showing you this is what's going to occur, and this is the way it's working out, setting the stage for what's coming, kind of like, and I hate to use this crude illustration for the Word of God, but kind of like a movie trailer. Here's laid out, this is open, then the book gets open, then the trumpets come out, and all this begins to happen, but you see overlap. It's basically telling you what's going to take place, and it's all ending up in this final seventh of all three of the seals, the trumpets, and the vials. These seven seals, the book is being opened. And when each seal is opened, it shows an element or a part of the picture, a place, the events, put them in their place, and a view or a preview of the events that are coming. And as I said, chapter 6 ends at the sixth seal. And the time for the seventh seal to be opened has come. And the details are going to be laid out regarding how all these participants and these characters that we've seen, and I call them characters, but the different seals that are open shows us, you know, the different elements that are involved in the last days and how they relate to one another. They've been laid out for us, and it's the final struggle between good and evil, between the Lord's people and an Antichrist system, and the Lord and the Antichrist, and all of that's coming together, which is introduced to us in these first four seals. If you remember, seal one is talking about the false religious system, and we're introduced to the false religious system in the world, and that's the white horse. It's not the white horse of Christ, it's a false white horse, and this is a false religious system in the world, and we know that that will culminate with the false prophet and the beast ultimately. And then seal two is a powerful military war machine that is a one-world military. And then seal number three is a world financial system. And we see that. And these prepare us for the rise of the Antichrist in seal number four, where the Antichrist comes to power. And then the fifth seal of persecution. And then the sixth seal. Now we begin to see cosmic disturbances, things happening that people can see and obviously see aren't normal in the heavens and in the skies and all of those things, and things coming out of heaven. And here in chapter 7, what we have is an interlude or a pause for a moment in the story. And while we're awaiting the opening of this seventh seal, John paints another picture, and it's like another view of what's going on, so you can have a little bit more understanding, fills in some of the blanks, some of the background information, and we find comfort seeing God will be with his people and see them through to the end. We end chapter 6 with this great wrath, this day of the wrath of the Lord, and it says, who shall be able to stand? You notice there at the end, verse 17 of chapter 6. The question is asked, who shall be able to stand? Because we've come up to the sixth seal's been opened. When the seventh seal opens, it lines up with that seventh trumpet when the Lord comes in judgment. And that seventh vial is the final vial of judgment. And it's all lining up with this seventh seal. And the question is, this great day of the Lord, which last week we talked about how that ultimately is, or as the week before last, how that ultimately is a 1,000-year day. And I can't go into proving that again, but that day starts, and it's for 1,000 years, and it's the great day of the Lord, and it becomes with judgment. And here we see who shall be able to stand. When he gets up off that throne and mounts up to come with all his holy angels and 10,000s of his saints. And I mean, he is the captain of the Lord's host. This is the one that Joshua saw at Jericho with a sword in his hand. He said, are you with us or are you with them? And Joshua, the great warrior, was very concerned about this man. And he said, nay. In other words, I'm not with you. I'm not with them. The question is, who are you with, Joshua? Because I'm the captain of the Lord's host. And he's coming with that host. And that's the idea. He's coming again. Who will be able to stand in that day? And the question is answered in chapter 7. And that's the picture that we get in chapter 7. That's what John stops for a moment. He stops and gives us a pause to tell us who's going to be able to stand. Who in the world would be able to stand against this judgment that's coming? Well, we see 12,000 out of every tribe of Israel, plus all of God's elect people from every nation, kindred, tongue, and people are still there after this is over. That's the point of chapter 7. I think it's a comforting thing that he gives us. All of God's people are safe and sound in chapter 7, and that's what we learn. Notice there we read verses 4 through 8 of all the 12 tribes. There's 12,000 each. And then verse 9, after this, behold, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and with palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation unto our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. So we see here that who's going to be able to stand? These are the only ones that will be able to stand. These are God's people. You say, well, there's 12,000 out of each tribe of the nation of Israel. What about the rest of Israel? They're every nation, kindred, and tongue, and people. They're in verse 9. All the rest of the Jews that have ever been born again will be there also. So you have the 12,000 out of each tribe, and then you have the Jews and Gentiles alike, all the elect of God there with the Lord, and they're praising the God and praising the Lamb that sits on the throne. And before we get into the 144,000 and this great multitude here in white, I want to look at and just remind you these seals that we've seen and how they line up with the prophecies that Christ gave in the gospel, and then some of the other parts of Revelation, so I can explain to you. Maybe you can begin to see a little bit what I'm talking about, how that the seals open up. There's the book. One seal, two seal, three seal, four seal, five seal, six seal. Stop. Chapter 7. Who's going to be able to stand? Because seven seals coming. Well, these people are going to be able to stand. And then in between there, we begin to learn about, oh, there's going to be seven trumpets now. There's going to be seven vials. What's that? When the book opens, it lays all that out. And then you get all the details of what's going to take place. And I want to show you how, if Brother Dan, could I get you to open to Matthew 24 and read for me so we don't have to turn. And then I'm going to read from Revelation 6 and then Revelation 16 and Revelation 8. But notice Revelation 6. Verse 1 and 2. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. So this is that white horse we talked about, the false religious system. Jesus taught what was going to happen at the end of the world in Matthew 24. And Brother Dan, if you could read verse 5 for us there. What did he say is going to happen? First thing that he explained.
Many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive men.
And so you see that lines up. There's going to be, he begins to teach us about this false religious system that's going to be in the world. Well, it's being introduced here in chapter 6. This is one of the players in the book of Revelation, a false religious system. And Christ said these false Christs are going to rise, false prophets will rise up in the world. Well, if you go to Revelation 16, when the vials are being poured out later on in the story, in verse 2, notice this. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, And there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, upon them which worshipped his image. So here you have the false religious system. Then you have the judgment that comes upon the false religious system. You have the first seal opening up that explains that false religious system, lining up with Jesus' prophecies in Matthew 24. But then later, when this vial of judgment comes out, where does it land? The first one. On that first entity in the picture in the book of Revelation. It's a judgment upon that wicked system. And back in Revelation 8, with the trumpets, just to give you a feel for how this kind of lays out. Chapter 8, in verse 7, the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees was burned up, and all green grass was burned up. This is something that's happening in the story. This is coming upon the earth. So you have this first seal opened up. It's a false religious system. You have this trumpet bringing judgment. And then you have this vial bringing another judgment. You find out that vial is bringing the judgment upon that very system that Jesus taught about. And it lines up perfectly with the seals that are being opened in chapter 6. Seal number 2, we have wars and rumors of wars. And chapter 6 there, seal number 2 is in verse 3. When he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, "Come and see." And there went out another horse that was red, and was power was given to him to set that set there to take peace from the earth, that they should kill one another. And there was given to him a great sword. When he had opened, so he's given him a great sword. This is a military system. That's a world military system. That's a player in the book of Revelation. And in Matthew 24, verses 6 and 7, Dan, what did Jesus say next was coming?
"You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places."
See, went a little bit further than what I wanted to go, but there'd be wars, rumors of wars, nations rising against nations, which is ethnic groups against ethnic groups, kingdoms against kingdoms, countries against countries, what we call nations. Nations are really ethnic groups in that. And you see that second seal opens up this military system. And then you go over to Revelation 16 when these vials are being poured out again. In verse 3, "And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as blood of dead man, and every living soul died in the sea." Then you go back to Revelation 8, verses 8 and 9, and it says, "The angel sounded as it were a great mountain burning with fire cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood." So these are connecting up. And I'm not so certain, Brother Dean's probably more qualified than me to lay this out for you, but I'm not so certain that they're absolutely lined up. But there's a lot of overlap, and I know they're headed to that last seventh seal, seventh trumpet, seventh vial. And it's more than ironic to me that when it's laid out as an entity, say the military system, then that same number will be the one that brings judgment upon that. And the judgment comes upon it. So you get a different angle. You see it, then you see a judgment come upon the earth, on the people, then you see it being completely destroyed. And then by the time you get to chapter 17 and 18, you have it laid out clearly how it's destroyed. And it lays it all out, 17, 18, and 19. So seal number 3 in chapter 6, notice here, and we're going to move through these a little quicker so it won't bog down here. We see the famines, also the pestilence and earthquakes, but famines in particular. In Revelation 6, verse 5 and 6, when he'd opened the third seal, I heard the beast say, "Come." This beast say, "Come and see," and I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, "A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine." And what I've heard that explain is like, it take a day's wages just to get like a piece of bread. That's what's going to be like. A famine is going to be in the land. If you'd read the next thing Jesus said in Matthew 24, verses 7 and 8.
"Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famine and pestilence, earthquakes in divers places.
So you see how the seals in chapter 6 line up with the prophecies of Jesus in Matthew 24. And then later on, the judgment comes upon that. You're not just going to have that, those persecutions and those things happen to the world, and then God not deal with it. He's going to later bring judgment upon that. Then the fourth seal, as I said, the rise of the Antichrist in Revelation 6, verse 7 and 8. When it opened the fourth seal, I heard a voice of the fourth beast say, "Come and see, and look, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto him over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth." And then if you would, Brother Dan, read verses 9 through 15, what Jesus says is coming next in his prophecy.
"Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand."
Okay, so you see all those things coming about. In Revelation 6, it speaks of this, that this entity was given the power to kill a fourth part of the earth with hunger and with death and with the beast of the earth. And then Jesus speaks of all these things coming about, and then he culminates it with, when you see the abomination of desolation, what's he saying? The Antichrist, when he takes his seat in the temple of God and claims himself to be God, you know that's the one, and he's the one that's going to bring all this to come to pass. You know who you're dealing with. You're dealing with the rise of the Antichrist at that time. And that is the beginning of the last 3.5 years, which is actually the Great Tribulation. There's not a 7-year Great Tribulation. There's only 3.5 years that is the Great Tribulation. And what we see is, if these seals, vials, and trumpets, which, like I said, I don't believe they all line up exactly on a timeline, but they lead into the same story, some overlapping. If you have all the book of Revelation figured out, you come help me, because sometimes you get more questions than answers. But they all lead to the same great day of the Lord. All three do. And there's certainly different views of the same actors, the same in the narrative, the same different groups, and they all show that. And now you have this Antichrist system, that system of persecution arising, but also God pouring out his wrath upon the wicked in the midst of all that. And at least there's a time when some of that's overlapping, where there's persecution and then God's wrath being poured out. No wonder Jesus said, "Great tribulation, like never has been or ever will be." And we have a view of the events that are on the earth in the book of Revelation. We have a view behind the scenes of who these different entities are, which we're getting a picture of now. We have views into heaven, where we see what's going on in heaven. And we have a view from heaven down to earth. But it's all the same ending events heading up to that great day of the Lord. And we have martyrdom in the fifth seal. And they'll deliver you up. Remember Jesus said that, "I'll deliver you up." Well, in chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, it lines up exactly with what the Jesus' teachings in Matthew 24. When the fifth seal was opened, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Remember Jesus said, "They'll deliver you up." And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" And how long is it going to be? How long are we going to wait to avenge our blood? We've already died. They're being killed. How long is it going to take for this to take place? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until the fellow servants also and their brethren should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. In other words, you're going to have to wait until all this plays itself out and all comes to fruition. Notice chapter 16 about the fifth vial. Chapter 16, verses 10 and onward, the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast. Now notice, it was the fifth seal, and Jesus lined it up with the fifth seal of the persecution of this Antichrist system on God's people. And in Revelation 6 talks about how they're being killed, and they're asking the Lord, when is this going to end? And then it's the fifth angel pouring out the vial, that pours out the vial on the seat of the beast in his kingdom, was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues with pain. This is not affecting God's people. This is judgment upon the wicked, and blaspheme the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. They would not repent, even though this was being poured out upon them. Notice Revelation 9 with the trumpets. Revelation 9, and the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given a key to the bottomless pit. And it's interesting, this judgment that comes upon this system is brought about, and the Lord uses that system to judge itself. He opened the bottomless pit, and there arose smoke out of the pit, and smoke out of, a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. Unto them was given power, as scorpions of the earth have power. And you say, what is that picture? I'm not for sure, but it's not good. This is some type of punishment the Lord's bringing. Is it literal scorpions? I'm not for sure. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither the green thing, neither any tree. And you've noticed this several times through the teaching. Don't hurt the earth. Don't hurt, just get the people. Neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God on their forehead. Who are those? The ones that are not the group in Revelation 7. The rest of them. The ones that received the mark of the beast. The ones that worship the beast. They're going to receive this judgment. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of scorpions when he striketh man. In those days men shall seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. By the way, remember, God's people are sealed. But these are being judged because of the persecution they brought upon God's people. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared into battle, and their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. These are strange creatures. And they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as teeth of lions. And I've heard some people say that John just saw, you know, military equipment he's never seen before, and it's the best description he can give. I'm not sure. I think it's probably going to be some type of something God has in the spirit realm that we don't even know about, that's going to come out into the literal realm. That's what it seems like. And they had breastplates, or breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was the sound of chariots. You notice people say, well, that's helicopters, like Black Hawks or something. I don't know, but I know, I just believe it just like it's written. And they hurt men 5 months, and they had a king over them, notice this, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, and in the Greek tongue his name is Apollyon. So the one that's the king of the pit, if you compare this up, it looks like it's Satan to me, and he's in control of this, and he's the one that God uses to bring judgment upon his own Antichrist system. And he's the one that releases all this wickedness. And the Lord, isn't it like the Lord to do that? And he uses him to do that. And one woe was passed, and behold, there come two more woes. And then the sixth angel sounds. And we know that Satan is cast into the bottomless pit in the book of Revelation 20. And he's the king of the bottomless pit. And he's the one that's destroying himself. And God's using him against himself. And I kind of like that idea myself. Then we have the sixth seal in chapter 6, and we're now in between the sixth and the seventh seal in our study. And this book of seals is just almost open. And there in Revelation 6, I hope you're able to follow. I've got a lot going on in this. I hope everybody's following. Revelation 6, notice verse 12. And I beheld, when he had opened the sixth seal, lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell to earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. So notice here, there's an earthquake, the sun becomes black, The moon becomes like blood. The stars of heaven fall when the sixth seal is opened. Brother Dan, if you could read verse 9, the next thing Jesus says. Verse 9. I got the wrong word. 29. I think it's 29. Wait, let me get it there. It's not verse 9. Yes, that's it.
Shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, the powers of the heavens shall be shaken.
So if you want to understand what's going on in Revelation 6, go to Matthew 24. Jesus lays it out perfectly with the seals. And here we have all these things happen up until the sixth seal. And Jesus says, after the tribulation of those days, then the sun's going to be darkened, the moon won't give us light, and so forth. Well, that's exactly what happens at the sixth seal. And at the sixth seal, there's a great earthquake, and the sun become black, and the moon become black, and the stars of heaven fall. So it's all lining up there at the sixth seal, just like it did in the book of Matthew. And this book is almost open, and it brings us right up to the coming day of the Lord, the last verse of chapter 6, that great day of the Lord. Amos prophesied it. Joel prophesied it. Zechariah prophesied it. Zephaniah prophesied. Isaiah prophesied that same day where the sun would be darkened and the moon would not give its light. That day is the great day of the judgment of God when Jesus is coming with all of his holy angels, when the stars are going to fall and the sun will be dark and the moon will be darkened and the powers of heaven will be shaken. And there, like I said, there's some overlap in some of these pictures and in these seven seals, seven trumpets, seven vials. But all of this is different pictures of that same revelation, the same revelation that's going to go to that seventh vial, seventh trumpet, seventh seal, ultimately to be the day of the Lord when the Lord comes back. And so we're closing in on that great day. Just as the sixth and the seventh trumpet, the sixth and the seventh vial, and the sixth and the seventh seal. Now, there's too much going on between the sixth and the seventh seal to finish all that tonight. But that's where we've come up to in chapter, at the end of chapter 6. That sixth seal's open. And all these things that Jesus talked about has come up to that point in Matthew 24. After the tribulation of these days, then the sun is darkened and the moon doesn't give its light. We've come up to that point at the end of chapter 6. Now we're going into chapter 7. As I said, chapter 7 just stops. It's like an interlude. I'm going to give you, and it answers the question, who shall be able to stand? And now we learn about God's people. How do God's people fare? How are God's people going to make it with all this coming upon the earth? And how God's people fare through the book of Revelation, through all of these events that are happening? Well, we see 144,000 Jews are sealed with the seal of the living God. You say, well, that represents something else. It represents more than that. I don't know. I learned a long time ago to just tell you what I don't know when I know I don't know. I don't know for sure, but I know at least, as it says, there's going to be 144,000 Jews. We know that the book of Romans tells us that there's going to be a restoration of the nation of Israel. We know they're going to look on him whom they've pierced when he comes, and they're going to be saved. And Israel's going to be saved. All the promises to Israel are going to be fulfilled. And they're going to turn to the Lord. Is it just going to be 144,000, or is this reference to a larger number? It seems like all the Jews that are on the earth when Christ comes back will be saved. So I'm not for sure if this is a specific group besides that, or if it represents them. But we know there's 144,000 here of Jews that are sealed. And that means that the wrath of God can't touch them. Well, that doesn't count for all the Jews that have been unbelievers since the time of Christ, because he cut them off. If you're an unbeliever and you're a Jew now, you're lost. But there's coming a time when God's going to graft them back in. And here we see at least 144,000 of them. And then we see a multitude, which no man could number, that includes Jews also, of every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. So you say, how are God's people going to fare? Well, we know that they're going to come out of this thing completely saved, completely delivered, not touched by the wrath of God one bit. It can't happen. It's impossible. And so verse 9, they stood there in white robes. They're going to come out in white robes with palms in their hands, crying and saying how to praising God, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And then we go on in chapter 7, verse 11. And all the angels stood around about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell before the throne on their faces, and they worshiped God. See how this, even though we're in chapter 7, it's the same as what's winding up in 19 and 20. It ends up in that same place. This is after Christ has come. And saying, amen, blessed, or it's the time he is coming, excuse me, it's when he's coming. And saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever, amen. So now the people of God are safe with the Lord. And they're praising the Lord. Before this wrath ultimately pours out, they're with him. And they're caught up in a rapture. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? Who are these people? All these people in white robes, what is it? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of a lamb. These are people who've died for the faith, who died trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, were martyred because they believed in Christ, and they would not recant. They would not take the mark of the beast. And by the way, no child of God can take the mark of the beast. The Lord's not going to let you do that. You can't do it. You don't have to worry. What if I take the mark of the beast? Not going to happen. The Lord's going to keep you from that. He's going to seal you. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them, and they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them or any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. He said, why are they going to have tears in their eyes? This world's hard. This world's hard. And the Lord's going to look at all of his people and he's going to say, it's over. I'm here. Everything's okay. But we had all, it's okay. But I got these, but everything's okay. I'm here. And the tears are going to flow, and he's going to touch your face, wipe the tears off the face, and say, it's okay. I'm here. All my promises are fulfilled to you, and everything is okay. I'm thankful that John, before he gets into all these things that are coming upon the earth, ultimately laying out the details, he lets us know how we end up. And he shows us that God's judgment is coming upon the world, but the wrath is coming upon the wicked, not the people of God. We're not appointed under wrath. It's impossible for that. God's wrath never touches God's people. Just like in the land of Goshen, you study in the Old Testament. In the land of Goshen, when the 10 plagues come upon Egypt, and Moses kept going back to Pharaoh, and the Lord kept putting the plagues on them, none of them touched the nation of Israel. None of them. They couldn't touch it. There's a land of Goshen prepared for them, and they were safe. And what did they do on the worst one, when the firstborn was being killed? The Lord said, take the blood of the lamb, put it on the doorpost, stay in the house, and you'll be safe. Regardless of what comes upon this world, we have the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ over the doorpost in our life. He died for us. He saved us. The wrath of God cannot touch us. It's impossible for that to ever happen. So as we move along in Revelation, you know that just as the sixth seal brings us right up to the great day of the Lord, which will be ultimately the seventh seal, the seventh trumpet, and the seventh bowl of wrath, in chapter 17 and 18, you see that come about. I'm not going to turn that to you now. I'm just going to give you a little bit of preview. And this is how the book of Revelation works. That's all. That great day of the Lord is coming up, building up, and the sixth seal opens, and you're waiting. What's going to happen to the seventh seal? Seventh seal is when the Lord's coming. Well, what's going to happen at the seventh vial? That's the last judgment coming out when Jesus is coming. What's happening at the seventh trumpet? That's when the trumpet sounds and the Lord comes back. And what is that? Well, that's the Battle of Armageddon. How's that all come about? You read chapter 17, and it lays out for you how that the false religious system in the world is destroyed. The one we saw at the very first seal is destroyed in chapter 17. It tells exactly how it all lays out and how it's all destroyed and how the judgment comes upon. Chapter 18, what's taking place? All the financial system and the merchants of the world mourned over Babylon the Great. That system, it's all destroyed. And then chapter 19, what happens? As we said, it's the same as chapter 8 where that silence happened and Jesus mounts up And he's coming, and on his thighs wrote King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he's riding on a white horse, and he's coming in judgment. And he has many crowns on his head because all the kings of the earth are going to forfeit their crown to him because he's the king of the whole world. And he's coming in battle at the Battle of Armageddon in chapter 19. And he takes control of this world. And then the military system that we see in the seals revealed to us is now dealt with by Christ himself. When he comes back, that military system is destroyed, and then he casts the beast and the false prophet into the lake of fire. Ultimately, the Antichrist system is completely destroyed, and the end of all of the persecution of God's people forever, and they're cast in a lake of fire, and then Satan is taken in Revelation 20 and cast into a bottomless pit for 1,000 years, and then Christ ascends his throne on earth. And he reigns here on this earth for 1,000 years. And that's how everything's leading to that moment. Everything's leading to that day, that great day of the Lord where Jesus is coming back. So that gives you an idea. Now what we're going to do is we're just going to start going through the book of Revelation. But hopefully you have an idea of how these seven seals open up. It gets the book open. Then the seven trumpets. Then the seven vials. But it's not necessarily ching, stop. Seven trumpets, stop. Seven vials, stop. Because they all, the sevens, line up perfectly. Then there's overlap with some of these. So I don't have all the answers, but I know that they're all heading to that one day. And then you see a picture of it, a whole, like a review. You got a preview now, then you have the story, then you have a review, 17, 18, 19, 20, saying this is how the one world false religious system was destroyed. This is how the one world monetary system was destroyed. And this is how the military systems, Jesus comes back, they gather themselves together like a bunch of fools, and he destroys the military system. And this is how the Antichrist, the false prophet and the beast are destroyed. They're cast in a lake of fire. Then this is how Satan is destroyed. He's cast into the bottomless pit. And then ultimately after the 1,000 years, he's brought up out of the bottomless pit. And amazingly, after 1,000 years, where the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ covers the earth like the waters cover the sea, still have the depravity of some men that Satan's able to gather an army again to surround Jerusalem. And then the Lord, this is the quickest battle ever. Fire comes out of heaven and destroys them all. And then Satan is cast into the lake of fire. And then we enter into the eternal Escalon. That we don't know a whole lot about, but it sure is wonderful, and all that's coming. So we have a preview of all the different players in the book of Revelation, and then we have what happens, then we have a review of everything that happens, and now we just study and go through from chapter 7 on. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your precious word. Lord, protect us as we study precious things in your word. Teach us wonderful things. And Lord, it's awesome when we see what you're going to do to this world. And we look around and we're like those that were crying out, Lord, how long? How long? And I've heard people my whole Christian life saying, I just don't know how long the Lord's going to allow all this to get worse and worse. And then we wonder, Lord, why so much judgment? Why so much wrath? And then we think about 50 million babies being aborted. We think about your institution of marriage, which you obviously love. It pictures your son and his church being spit on and disrespected. We see all of the hatefulness and the anger of wicked men and the crookedness and the false religions of the world just flying in the face of God. And they know you by an innate knowledge as a creator, but they won't seek you. And then we begin to understand a little bit of why. And then we get to the reality of it as we study the book of Revelation, the serious nature of your holiness, how offended you really are. And Lord, we stand with you. We stand with you. We ask you, Father, that you might grant our nation and us and all the churches repentance and revival. We ask for it. We seek it. We ask you for the Holy Spirit. But nevertheless, Lord, we stand with you in judgment because we know it's right. And we recognize that these things must come to pass, and we recognize that you must judge sin. And it's more than we can wrap our mind around how holy you are and how your wrath becomes so kindled. But we believe it, and we thank you for saving us from it. Thank you, Father, for cleansing. Thank you for forgiveness of sins. Thank you for the rapture. Thank you for